Are you a single believer looking for the love of your life?
Or are you a married believer looking to grow the love you already have?
If you like practical advice
based on the Word of God
with real life examples,
you're in the right place.
I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
Welcome to Love with the Lines. To Love with the Lines. I'm Cindy.
And that means I must be Wayne.
You are Wayne.
I'm the guy with the Hawaii shirt.
You are the guy with the Hawaii shirt. And this is episode 56.
That's crazy. I can't believe we're doing 56.
Mm-hmm.
Or the 56th episode. Yes.
So what are we talking about today?
Well, we're talking about soup.
Soup?
Soup. Yesterday was soup day. I got in the mood to make soup. Well, actually, I got in the mood to make soup Friday night when we were out and about, so we bought ingredients to make soup. Mm-hmm. And as I was driving home yesterday from men's group, which we have a men's group that meets every Saturday, and as I was driving home and thinking about making soup, I started thinking about how marriage is like soup.
Marriage is like soup.
Marriage can be like soup.
Yep. Before you continue, I just want to add, I am a very blessed woman to have a husband who makes fabulous, delicious soup.
Wow. Should we start with the scripture?
Sure, let's do that.
So the scripture we found, well, the scripture we're talking about is Colossians 3, verse 14, and this is out of the ESV. And it says, "And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. So you're talking about soup, and soup mixes a lot of ingredients together.
It does mix a lot of ingredients. And I think what I was thinking about was, well, like for us, we obviously came from two different backgrounds, and, you know, we had stuff that came along with each one of us. And, you know, when God put us together, it made something good.
It did. It took a little bit, but...
It did take a little bit. Well, I mean, it's a process. Well, and see, you know, some of the things I was thinking about is, you know, sometimes things are not what they appear to be, or... you know, not as we think they're going to be. And again, relating it to soup. So growing up on a farm, my mom always made vegetable beef soup. And I can remember her making it, but I never really paid a lot of attention to how she made it. And when Cindy and I got married, and I forget why, but I decided I was going to make vegetable beef soup like my mom did. Well, I didn't really have a recipe. So, you know, I would buy the bones and I would cut the bones up and I would brown the bones in the oven because that's how you were supposed to make good beef broth. And I remember it never turned out the same. And then I had this conversation with my mom, the farm wife, who made everything from scratch. And I'm telling her all this and she just looked at me and she said, "Well, I just buy my beef broth at the store."
I remember. You were devastated.
I was devastated. It was definitely not what I thought it was going to be. But it did make the soup making a lot easier.
Yes, it did.
Yep, definitely. And I thought, you know, sometimes, you know, we envision marriage as something and it's not exactly how we think it's going to be.
Right.
You know, we see it as, you know, we get married and, you know, sparkly things and stars and all kinds of fun stuff happen. And mm-hmm. even though it may be that at first, it may not be that all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, we frequently say that we fell in lust with each other before we fell in love with each other. And it took time to grow that. But I think you had a really good point about coming from different backgrounds. So that brought different ingredients mm-hmm. into the soup of our marriage in different ways. Our families had very different viewpoints about many things.
Mm-hmm.
What our expectations were very different. And, you know, like I had certain ideas of the way things were supposed to be and how things were supposed to be done and, you know, what had to happen for holidays or special mm-hmm. occasions or that. And you had different expectations from your family because your family was not... they were way more laid back than my family was.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I know we've talked about this on other podcasts, But just the holiday traditions, like for Thanksgiving on the farm, we would get all of our chores done early, and then we would go hunting for the day, you know. And mm-hmm. your family, I don't think, did that.
No. No hunting in my family. No, that was not a thing.
So just the different things that we bring together. And then, you know, the other thing I thought about, too, is sometimes the ingredients are nothing like what you think. We had a friend of ours years ago that we did catering with, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. And he gave us a recipe for chicken Florentine soup. And one of the ingredients was, and it was one of these you would not think of as being in chicken Florentine soup, but I left it out and it made a big difference, was peanut butter, mm-hmm. which made no sense for it to be in chicken Florentine soup.
Yeah, I would never think of that as an ingredient for chicken Florentine soup.
And I don't even know if we, I don't think I have the recipe anymore. I only made it a few times, but it wasn't a whole lot of peanut butter, but it just changed the whole flavor of that mm-hmm. soup. And just like, you know, with certain things in our marriage, even though they might not seem big, they can really change, they can really make a big change in our lives and in our marriages. Mm-hmm. And then I was thinking about how the ingredients may change because our tastes change, or because of, you know, how one spouse likes things and one spouse doesn't. So
that's like, true. Yeah, because your taste buds change over time.
They do.
So because I know I never liked lemon as a kid or even as a teenager. I can't remember, even early 20s. I don't remember liking lemon. And now I can't get enough lemon stuff. Mm-hmm. I love lemon bars and lemon pie and lemon muffins.
Lemon meringue pie.
Yeah, all kinds
of. Yeah, all kinds of stuff. Yeah, and mm-hmm. unfortunately, because of the way our bodies change and stuff, like you and I eat wheat-free, which mm-hmm. a lot of times it's just easier to say we eat gluten-free, but it really does limit some of the things we can have.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, and so that happens too in relationships. Things may change that put limitations on things that you used to enjoy doing together as a couple that now you can't do, maybe because somebody's had an injury or an illness mm-hmm. or just something that prevents you from doing what you enjoyed doing before, and you have to adjust the soup.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know, like when my mom makes soup, now she used to do it. Now, we always raised our own beef on the farm, and she would make it with beef cubes or whatever. You know, she'd take a roast or steak and chop it up into little, these nice little squares and put it in your soup. But I know she has changed now to do it with hamburger, which I think she's done it just because it's easier. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I grew up with it being cubed, but you like it shredded.
Yes, I like the beef shredded.
You like the beef shredded.
In my vegetable beef soup, yes, I do.
And I'm more concerned with it, there being beef in there. I don't care how it is. Mm-hmm. So I'm just as happy to make it shredded as not.
Yeah, so you've adjusted your recipe to honor one of my preferences mm-hmm. for how I like the soup. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then we used to make chicken corn soup all the time.
Yes.
We used to do that a lot. But then our changes tasted. But our tastes changed. And we really don't make that too much anymore.
Well, and part of that is I started to have some issues with corn, so mm-hmm. it wasn't, I couldn't eat bowlfuls of corn anymore. Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't as much fun either, because we always put noodles in it or mm-hmm. made ribbles. People know what ribbles are. You make a dough that you drop into the soup broth that cooks these little doughy things that float around the soup. I don't know how else to explain it.
Yeah, but they're dough noodles.
But when I found out that I had a wheat allergy and we went wheat free, then we stopped doing that. We found some, I think you found them first, the gluten-free noodles mm-hmm. that are actually, fortunately for us, gluten-free products are evolving and they're getting better mm-hmm. all the time. When I first found out I had the wheat allergy 12 years ago, and I think I've probably said this multiple times, it's like stuff was really bad, really awful. And so now we actually found egg noodles that we can put in the chicken corn soup, but we really, that was something that you made all the time, and now we don't, because of a bunch of different factors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I mean, just like making soup or with any kind of recipe and stuff, a lot of times, you know, it evolves. Or like, I know I don't, well, when I cook, I don't really I know what I'm making and I know how to make it. So I just throw stuff together, just like the soup recipe, which is really simple, but it's, I never really had one. It's kind of like I kind of just played around with it to find something that works. And I think sometimes with our marriages, we just kind of go through life and find things that work. And if they work, we do them. And if they don't work, we don't do it again.
Right. Or try not to. Now, I'm trying to remember, did your mother put cabbage in her beef vegetable soup?
I don't think she did.
I think that was something that you got from my background.
Yes.
Because my mother was not a cook, but my neighbor, our landlady, I grew up in a half-double house, and our landlady who owned the house was a fabulous cook, and she was a single lady and never married and lived with her mother, took care of her mother after her father died, and she would make great big pots of beef vegetable soup. That's my experience. That's where I learned to have a taste for it, with the shredded beef in, because that's how Naomi made it, and then she also put cabbage in it. And I remember after you made it a few times, I was like, why don't we put some cabbage in it?
There's something missing.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because at first, because I'm now that you say that, because I remember it was like, well, that's kind of weird. Why would you put cabbage in vegetable beef soup? And now it tasted good, even though it didn't really make sense.
I know it doesn't make a lot of sense, but it adds. There's just something that adds to vegetable beef soup.
I think it's a texture thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean it tastes good too.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is, because you made me change pots.
Yes, I did make you change pots. My parents both had Alzheimer's, and so when you read a lot of the research, and there's a lot of conflicting research about what contributes to that, but one of the things that was popular, and I think still is that you shouldn't cook in aluminum. And you cooked, and you had your mom's great big aluminum soup pot, because Wayne's mom's 95. She doesn't make too much soup anymore.
Right. Well, and I'm not really sure. We still have the pot, but we don't use it for that. We use it that, I think the only time I use it now is for making Christmas pickles.
Oh, yes.
I use that just as the canner.
Yes.
Anymore.
That's another episode.
That's another
the
episode.
Christmas pickles.
Yes. But, but when we did that, because I wanted to get a big pot. Mm-hmm. And remember, you tried to get me to cut down on the size of the pot, which I did. But, and that's one of the things, you know, I always try to cut back on the amount of soup I make, and I don't.
Well, you have to know, this kettle he originally started in is like, if you picture the Old West and the huge kettle over a fire, if you've seen like colonial reenactments or Civil War reenactments where they've got a huge kettle over a fire cooking, or if you've seen apple butter stirring demonstrations, that's what kind of pot he was making soup in. And then when we were shopping for a non-aluminum pot, we looked at sizes. And I did not get the size I wanted. No, I finally talked him into going two sizes down. And he's still, how many quarts of soup did you can last night?
So yesterday, I canned 7 quarts of soup, 7 full quarts of soup, and because that's how much the canner holds. And that was not half of the soup.
No, the rest is still in the refrigerator.
The rest is still in the refrigerator. So there's probably 14 quarts of soup. But it's funny because when you add the little things here and there, how much it makes. And I think a lot of times with the marriage, too. You know, we each bring something, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and it all blends together and makes something good.
Well, and it's how you have to adjust the seasoning, too, because it was like you said yesterday about the sugar.
The sugar. Mm-hmm.
You were saying that that you kept adding sugar to it and adding sugar to it.
Yeah, because I kept adding, and that's one thing. I don't know if everybody put sugar in their vegetable beef soup. I don't know how many people listening to us make vegetable beef soup. But we have found that you add sugar to it. I think that came from your family.
I think that came from my experience too, from Naomi making soup. And we try not to eat a lot of refined sugar, so we're using the Terminato, the raw sugar. But you just keep adding it until you get just the right taste.
Because it's funny because you can taste the change start, and then I added just a little bit more. Even in that amount of soup, I added just a little bit more and it changed. And again, thinking about marriage, sometimes, you know, you see something that works and, well, we'll try this. This is a little better. This is a little better. And then you get to the thing that works just right. Mm-hmm. And that's what you want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like any seasoning. Yeah. And I think especially like we were talking, the last three episodes we did were based on the book about the five love mm-hmm. languages, and learning your spouse's love language is like learning how to season soup. Mm-hmm. You learn little things that you could do. Well, I can add this, I can do this, and this communicates love mm-hmm. to my spouse. We're actually doing a series on marriage on Saturday nights at our church right now that's been very good. Mm-hmm. And last night we were talking about love and respect, which we've talked about on other podcasts, but that's the same thing with, you know, learning how to, women want love, men want respect, learning for the husbands to learn how to love their wives better. What new seasoning? What do you need to add? What ingredient needs to be a little bit different? And the same for wives respecting their husbands. What ingredient needs to change? What do we need to do that's a little bit different to be able to show the respect that is meaningful to our husbands? Mm-hmm. So yeah, Wayne first started talking to me about this soup is like marriage, and I'm like, soup is like marriage. But then when we started talking about it, it is a great analogy.
Yep. Well, and the recipe that I have, which actually I'll share the recipe.
Yes.
It's really simple, and I've tried to simplify it over the years. But usually I will get I'll try to use a chuck roast, mm-hmm. and where I used to boil it in water, we have an instant pot.
Yeah.
So I will cut it up into chunks and if it's I got a couple roasts yesterday that was like 3.5 pounds. So I cut them up into 3 or 4 inch chunks, and then I, you know, put them on the saute setting and just browned them a little bit and then cooked them in the Instant Pot,
mm-hmm.
you know, with
yep.
some water and a little bit of cider and some stuff there for flavoring, and use yep. that with the broth. But usually what I do for, like, if I got 6 pounds of meat, there's a brand of soup vegetables that comes in 2 pound bags. So I got 6 pounds of meat, and I bought 3 of those bags of vegetables, so 6 pounds of meat, 6 pounds of vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And usually we'll use pureed tomatoes. So if I get, for every bag of vegetables, I'll use a can of that.
Mm-hmm.
And just to supplement the broth, I'll get, you know, like a quart of broth for each can of vegetables. Mix it all together. I mean, it's real simple.
Beef broth,
and,
right?
Beef broth, yeah. Yep. And then just, you know, mix it all together, and a head of cabbage. Chop the cabbage up.
Chop the cabbage.
And then let it cook together. Usually add the meat in near the end because it's already cooked.
Mm-hmm.
Strain the broth that comes with the meat and add that in.
And then salt and pepper and some sugar,
and pepper,
right?
And sugar. Yeah, and the thing of it is, you know, this is one of those recipes where it can vary a lot because it just depends on what I can find.
Mm-hmm.
But even like in the bag of vegetables, I never would have thought about putting okra in soup.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes in that bag of soup, of soup mix.
The vegetables, yeah.
And it adds an interesting flavor and a texture, and it also helps thicken the soup a little bit.
It thickens the soup. Mm, that's why you put okra in it.
Yeah, but if you like your soup more like with chunks of tomato in, you can just set up, like we use the pureed tomato, I think
yes.
is what it
mm-hmm.
was. But you could add like whole tomatoes or crushed tomatoes or mm-hmm. diced tomatoes. Whatever works for you. And again, just kind of like your marriage, you know, do what works.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So, well, that's something for people to think about today, that
marriage is
like
soup.
So, until we talk to you next week, we pray that you will find the right way to season your soup.
Amen.
And that your marriage will be richly blessed.
God bless. Bye now.
Bye.